From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. I don't know about you, but I'm hearing it more and more. People just want to be done with this coronavirus. Unfortunately, as rising case counts and news of a new variant of concern are out there, it's clear the virus is not yet done with us, no matter how we feel. But we have multiple effective vaccines. Now they're available to children as young as 5, and all adults are being encouraged to get booster shots. To talk about all this and more, we're joined once again by Dr. Ngozi Ezike, the director of the Illinois Department of Public Health. Dr. Ezike, welcome back to The 21st.
Thanks for having me. A pleasure to be with you.
And listeners, if you have a question or comment for Dr. Ezike, you can join our conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can tweet us at 21st Show. So Dr. Ezike, I want to begin with this variant of concern. As I mentioned, there's been a lot of attention on this Omicron variant, or Omicron, if you're a fan of the ancient Greek pronunciation. But how concerned are you about this variant of concern?
You know, we know that there's something new out there, but, you know, given the constant emergency state that we've been under for so long, we just want to hold on and get the information. You know, I've talked to colleagues in London and South Africa. You know, we're still in a holding pattern. So I think it's a little too early to, you know, pull the fire alarm. But short of pulling the fire alarm, there are just things that we can do to be prepared and to be as prepared as possible, even not having all the answers. And that's what I want people to understand and to do while we get the answers. And of course, as soon as we get those answers, which stuff is coming out every day, we'll know a lot about how these vaccines will do against the variant, you know, maybe in 10 days or so. So we have to sit tight, but there's some basics that we know we should be doing.
What do you think? You mentioned speaking with colleagues in London and Africa. What do you think about this policy of banning flights from several countries in Africa in particular?
You know, I think once we realize that we have something, it doesn't mean that that's the only place it is. That, you know, we went from identifying places in Africa, and now I think the list is almost 20 countries. So I think we understand so clearly that viruses don't need passports. They get on planes, they get on cruise ships, they get in cars and buses. So by the time we've acknowledged a virus is present, it's already, you know, done a couple of trips around. So I know that trying to slow down traffic might slow the introduction, won't stop it. I think there's acknowledgement of that. So I think I understand what people are trying to do, may give us just a little bit more time while we're trying to figure out how bad or maybe how not bad it is. But it's not that we think the virus probably hasn't already traveled around the world. The flight restrictions might just slow it down a tad.
So as we're looking ahead to the coming winter months, the governor has indicated that he's worried about another bad wave on its way, or I don't know, maybe it's already starting to rise here. Can you talk about why you're expecting things to get worse, if in fact you are as well?
Yeah, well, we saw last year, you know, we're trying to learn what we've seen. We're 2 years into this now. So a year ago, you know, we could say we're still in our first year. We're trying to figure this out. We have a lot of pieces figured out. We saw that as you move indoors, as the temperatures drop, as people are not wearing their mask, we know that that promotes viral transmission. And so we're at that season, holiday season, lots of indoor gatherings, especially in our state with the weather as it is. Most things won't be outdoors. So as we have moved indoors, we've seen that the masks unfortunately haven't moved indoors as much. And so that promotes the setting that the virus likes, to be indoors, to be out of sun, to be in crowded spaces, and then it can find its people.
You know, I wonder what you make. So we've been through several of these waves now, right? There was one last winter. There was obviously the Delta wave just a few months ago. It strikes me that after that Delta wave, the floor of cases, right, the low number, it seemed to be a lot higher than it was after previous waves. And like, we didn't really even get that sort of respite of, you know, single digit case counts in a number of our you know, the sort of the central Illinois counties that I pay most attention to, at least. Can you talk about what is your understanding or hypothesis as to why that floor of cases was so much higher than after previous waves with Delta?
Yeah, Brian, that's a very astute observation. You know, we didn't get all the way down to the nadir that we had seen with some of the others. You know, I can postulate and hypothesize with the best of them. I mean, I think the fact that we knew and we know that it's a more transmissible virus, more than B.1.1.7, which was the more transmissible virus, it keeps getting more transmissible, which means that it's spread more easily. And so anything that is spread more easily will continue to find hosts that will continue that spread. And so it becomes harder maybe to get to that nadir when it's just too efficient at finding more people to infect. And so those numbers might not come down the way we'd like it to. I mean, that's one theory. It could be, you know, that there was some measure of waning immunity. It could be that just more and more, you know, gathering, you know, with the opportunity to spread. But I really think that we just know that the virus is more efficient at spreading. That's what we mean when we say it's more highly transmissible. And so as a byproduct of that, you could just keep the transmission going in more and more people so that those cases really keep at a little bit of a higher level.
So I mentioned a little while ago that cases are on their way back up across Illinois. What is your understanding of that as to why that's happening? And maybe I should add here that I know that in a number of counties I've looked at, it seems like children are a much greater share of the cases than they were at other points in the pandemic.
Yeah, so we do see a large number of cases. The case rate has been going up. You know, the CDC says that if you are at 100 cases per 100,000, you are in the, you know, the highest level. We're well over that at over 226 cases per 100,000. And it's on the incline. I think at some point we want to think less just about the total number of cases because of the benefit of having so much experience now with this virus, that the cases in themselves do signify something, because a certain percentage of those cases will go on to actually be people who will be hospitalized and then worse. And so those total number of cases matter, but if a lot of those cases are young people who we are so fortunate to still see that young people really have usually, okay, of course there have been exceptions, but young people usually have mild illness. We have had the MISC, the MIS-C, we have had hospitalizations and worse, but just looking at cases without looking at the hospitalizations is probably not well-grounded. But the fact that the hospitalizations are increasing, that's where we're focusing our attention, because if those hospitalizations continue to increase, and right now 200 people every day just in Illinois are being admitted newly to the hospitals in our state, you know, so when you get those numbers growing and growing, and you know, we have over 2200 people in the hospital now, you know, that is the real problem. That's the real thing we're looking at, because as you fill up those beds, then when anybody goes to the hospital, whether it's for COVID, whether it's for a heart attack, a stroke, appendicitis, that compromises the care when there are just too many people in there and you're stretching out the medical teams that are caring for you. So we are looking intently at those hospital numbers and trying to see all the measures we can do to offset people going into the hospital. And so that's where, of course, vaccine comes in. That's where monoclonal antibodies come in. And we really want to make sure that we are taking full advantage of those resources.
If you're just joining us, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with the director of the Illinois Department of Public Health, Dr. Ngozi Ezike. And you just mentioned vaccines there. And I know a lot of parents of, I have two children in that 5 to 11 age range, and we both got them both their first shots. We were very excited about that. In fact, they're scheduled to have their second dose this week, as a matter of fact, later this week. So, and I've seen you on the ads on YouTube and other places. How is it going? Are you, what is your sort of response to the uptake or lack of uptake of the COVID vaccine in this newest age group that's eligible?
Yeah, so I think, you know, I got lots of pictures on my phone from friends of their little ones, you know, getting vaccinated in that 5 to 11 year old group. And so a lot of the tears were not just from the kids getting stuck, but actually parents who just sighed a sigh of relief that their kids
got a little verklempt,
started that vaccination journey and could have that protection. You know, so far about 216,000 doses have been administered to our littlest residents, the 5 to 11 year olds. And that is about one in five kids. So I think, you know, it's only been available for about, you know, 3 weeks plus, and we've gotten 20%. So I know that number will continue to grow. I know the people who are most ready for it and their families obviously were waiting and got there first. And it continues to be a period where we're educating those who weren't the early adopters that, you know, weren't sure if their kids should get it. But, you know, as we talk about how you can avoid missing school, avoid that quarantining, how you can, you know, have your kids do a sleepover or do these group events with just more peace of mind, how you can avoid disruptions of trying to find a test in the middle of the evening so that your kid can have a negative test to assume, you know, to show that they didn't get infected from that exposure. I think the fact that that can go away, as well as giving protection against a virus that has caused some morbidity in some kids, I think it's great. I think we're not done yet. I think I can hope to see a number much bigger than 20%. You know, when I look at the 12 to 17 year olds, I think almost 60%, you know, have started that vaccination journey. And, you know, I'm thinking that some of these 5 to 11 year olds are in the same family with the 12 to 17 year olds. So probably the same mindset that got the older ones vaccinated will likely help us to get much higher numbers with the little ones.
In the time we have remaining, I just want to ask a sort of more big picture question about the future with this virus, right? I mean, the disease seems to be pretty firmly endemic now, right? It's going to be with us for years to come. Some of us have been living, I mean, not all that different than we have for pretty much the entire pandemic. I'm fortunate enough to work at home. My wife is a physician. She works in a clinic, but, you know, well masked and everything. But I mean, as I'm going in the world, I'm seeing people not really bothering with masks anymore. People are going to there was a stand-up comedian in Central Illinois. I know some people who went to that concert, whereas I would not dream myself of going to a mass gathering. Can you talk about how, at least those of us who are in the sort of COVID cautious side of things, how do we find a new normal?
You know, that's a great question. I think there's such a, you know, there's a spectrum. There are people who are not going to be hindered in any way. And then there are people who are using all the precautions available to them. And I think people have to be comfortable with their choices. I think I should try to reassure people that when they're doing the most they can, they've done the most they can. And that means getting vaccinated and then getting boosted, getting people around them vaccinated, and then using their mask in those, you know, indoor public settings where you have, you know, large mixed gatherings of people with mixed vaccination status. But I don't know that I personally can allay the anxiety that has been caused by COVID. I think we're all enduring this post-traumatic COVID disorder, even as we're still in it. And it is something that the public health department, our hospital partners, all of the government agencies involved with helping on the ground with the people, that we need to come up with our strategy for healing from this, you know, ongoing traumatic emergency for 2 years, and figure out a path forward where people can live their lives and enjoy their lives while being cognizant that there is a virus, but knowing that there are things we can do. I don't think now, at the end of November 2021, this looks anything like it did a year ago. And I think we should be able to appreciate how far we've come, and that even not knowing everything about Omicron, we know that we've got this. One way or the other, we've got this. We might find out that there's slightly decreased efficacy from our previous infections or from our vaccine immunity. God forbid if we found out that there's no protection from the vaccines, and I know that's not going to be the case. You know we could get a new vaccine in probably 3 months with this new mRNA technology. So I think the future is bright for all of us, but all I right. still want everybody to get vaccinated.
Get vaccinated. All right. Well, that is a positive note on which to end. Dr. Ezike, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Thanks for having me.
More to come on the 21st. Stay with us.